Hello, everyone, and welcome to the audio news from Archaeologica. I'm Laura Kennedy. Rick Pettigrew is away, so I'll be telling you about four of the best stories posted online this past week by our partner, Archaeologica.org. Here are the headlines in archaeological and historical news for the week of April 16th through the 22nd, 2023. Our first story takes us to Italy, where archaeologists unearthed 175 silver coins in a forest cache, perhaps buried for safekeeping during a bloody Roman civil war in the 1st century BC. According to Lorella Alderighi, an archaeologist with the Provincial Office for Archaeology, an investigation revealed that the earliest coins dated from around 157 BC, while the most recent were from around 83 BC. Year 82 BC is significant in Roman history. It's within the period of the brutal military campaign led across Italy by Roman general Lucius Cornelius Sulla. He defeated the leaders of the Roman Republic and was then installed as the dictator of Rome. The hoard of 175 silver coins value at tens of thousands of dollars in today's currency. As reported in Live Science, researchers found the coin hoard buried in a terracotta pot in 2021. They didn't disclose the discovery until the site was thoroughly investigated. The remains of a Roman farm were previously found nearby. Alderighi notes that during this time, the safest method to hide valuables was to bury them away from homes, where no one would likely find them. But whoever buried these coins never returned to retrieve them. Archaeologists who unearthed the coins conjecture that they were buried by a soldier, later killed in battle, but the owner could have been anyone trying to preserve wealth during that period of instability and violence. At that time, Italy had been gripped by the Social War, also called the Marsic War, fought from 91 to 87 BC between the Roman Republic and several of its autonomous allies. Sulla had already attacked Rome and been declared a public enemy, but in 82 BC, Sulla returned with his legions from Asia to defeat his enemies there. His armies conquered territories as they advanced from south to north, but central Italy and Tuscany had not yet been conquered. The war ended with a decisive battle just outside Rome, and the Senate appointed Sulla dictator shortly thereafter. Although Sulla eventually resigned his dictatorship, his victory and usurpation in 82 BC can be seen as foreshadowing even greater crises to come. His success was followed 30 years later by a larger civil war between Julius Caesar and Gnaeus Pompeius Magnus, both of whom came of age during the Social War. Caesar's victory in that war led directly to the rise of Augustus, the first Roman emperor in 27 BC. Next stop, Central Asia, where analysis of ancient gravesite goods and DNA suggests that elite women helped maintain a massive empire, stretching from today's Kazakhstan to Mongolia. According to the new study, elite women played a crucial role in sustaining Xiongnu, one of the first known nomadic empires of the Eastern Eurasian steppe. The Xiongnu, maybe ancient ancestors of the Mongols, formed a coalition of nomadic peoples controlling much of Central Asia, from today's Kazakhstan to Mongolia, from 2nd century BC to 1st century AD. Brian Miller, an archaeologist at the University of Michigan, is one of the lead authors of a new study exploring genetic remains found in Xiongnu graves in the foothills of the southern Altai Mountains, near the then imperial frontier. The study noted the empire's extreme genetic diversity, suggesting a massively multicultural society. According to Miller, the graves of elite women reflected the important role they played in stabilizing the empire. DNA testing at two Xiongnu cemeteries determined those buried in the largest tombs to be women, closely related to the heartlands people of the empire, located essentially in the middle of modern Mongolia. These women's burials were rich in grave goods, including ornamental gold discs, pieces of bronze chariots, and horse gear. By contrast, the DNA remains in the smaller tombs showed much wider genetic diversity, suggesting that many came from distant regions of the empire, stretching from the Black Sea region to eastern Mongolia. The study suggests that elite families who controlled the Xiongnu Empire sent their women to the frontiers to cement political alliances with local rulers there. Miller notes that the most elaborate burials were reserved for these elite women alone. Marriage alliances between representatives of the imperial ruling clan and high-ranking local community members spanned the entire empire. These elite women maintained high status throughout their lives, as reflected in their especially lavish burials. The burials suggest that they were active political participants, not just tools of their male relatives or of the communities into which they married. The new study is integral to understanding the internal structure of this ancient empire, especially because the main information about it comes from likely biased Chinese records, whose makers likely saw the Xiongnu as foreign enemies on China's borders. As reported by Live Science, some of the earliest elements of what later became the Great Wall of China were built to stop Xiongnu across border raids. Eventually, internecine civil wars fragmented the Xiongnu Empire. Some fragments became tributaries to Chinese city-states. Some were conquered by other steppe peoples. The research was published in the journal Science Advances. Our third story hails from Greenland, where archaeologists examined samples of wood used by medieval Norse colonists in order to determine their origins and confirmed North America as their source. Historical records have long suggested that medieval Norse colonists in Greenland relied on imports for key raw materials, such as iron and wood. However, the source of these imports had not yet been fully established. According to Lisabeth Gudmundsdottir from the University of Iceland, the sites where this wood was found, four medium-sized farms and one high-status episcopal structure, were occupied between 1000 and 1400 AD, as dated via radiocarbon methods and by associated artifact types. Microscopic examination of the cellular structure of the wood previously found by archaeologists on these sites revealed taxonomy for the source trees. According to the study, only 0.27% of the wood examined was unmistakably imported, coming from trees such as oak, beech, hemlock, and jack pine. About 25% of the wood studied could have been either imported or harvested as driftwood, including samples of larch, spruce, Scots pine, and fir. Hemlock and jack pine were not present in northern Europe during the early 2nd millennium AD, thus the pieces identified from the medieval Greenland sites must have come from North America. This corroborates evidence in historical sources suggesting that the Norse acquired wood from North America's eastern coast. Norse sagas recount explorers Leifur Heppni, Thorleifur Karlsefni, and Freydisal bringing timber from Vinland to Greenland. Wood also came from Europe, likely including oak, beech, and Scots pine. Some may have come to Greenland already in artifact form, such as barrel staves or sharp timbers, perhaps repurposed for building construction there. This study was published in the journal Antiquity. Our final story this week takes us to the North Carolinian coast, where researchers have solved the mystery of the origins of the coal found in a famous pirate shipwreck. About 300 years ago, pirates captured a French slave ship. Among those pirates was a captain named Edward Thatch, better known as Blackbeard. Blackbeard rechristened the ship with the famous moniker Queen Anne's Revenge. Blackbeard cruised the Caribbean in this, his new flagship, amassing a crew of up to 400 pirates and a hoard of treasure. The Queen Anne's Revenge sank in 1718 after Blackbeard infamously blockaded the port of Charleston, South Carolina. The ship eventually left the port and sailed north, where the crew tried to maneuver into North Carolina's old Topsail Inlet, now known as Beaufort Inlet. The ship hit a sandbar and sank along the coastline. The shipwreck went undiscovered until 1996. According to researchers, approximately half of the shipwreck has been excavated to date. The artifacts discovered include gold grains, mercury, glass trade beads, and pieces of coal by the hundreds. A research team from North Carolina and Kentucky sought to determine the source of that abundant coal. Coal was not used for ship propulsion until the late 19th century, instead being used primarily for cooking or heating in earlier vessels. The team found no signs of cooking or heating uses in the pirate ship wreckage, however. Archaeologists previously noted that the coal was distributed with rare evenness throughout the excavation site, with coal pieces present in corroded iron and other parts of the wreckage. Four samples of coal were sent to analyze their type. Coal is classified into four main types, distinguished by the amount of carbon they contain and by the amount of heat they can produce. As reported by phys.org, the quality of coal samples ranged widely, with some being low-volatile bituminous coal, 87 to 90% carbon, and others being anthracites, above 90% carbon. These differences are key to understanding where the coal originated. Bituminous coal is generally found in Virginia. It's good for cooking and doesn't pour smoke when it burns. Anthracite is rarer, especially in the U.S. North America, where all the anthracites come from Pennsylvania. European settlers did not even discover Pennsylvania anthracite until the later part of the 1760s, and its concerted mining waited until the 1800s. Tellingly, the coal samples post-date the sinking of the Queen Anne's Revenge. According to the study, the coal was likely dumped by U.S. Navy ships long after the sinking, during the American Civil War. A heavy influx of ship traffic to the coal refueling station at Beaufort happened at that time, especially during the Union's blockade of Wilmington, North Carolina. From 1862 to 1864, 421 vessels made nearly 500 trips into Beaufort for coal. Natural forces such as waves, tidal currents, tropical storms, and hurricanes may also have played a role in the coal eventually settling in and around the Queen Anne's Revenge wreckage. University of Kentucky archaeologists explained that the same causes are responsible for other items intruding their way onto the shipwreck, such as the 19th century glass and ceramic artifacts, as well as the 20th century coins, soda bottles, and even golf balls. These findings were published in the International Journal of Nautical Archaeology. That wraps up the news for this week. For more stories and daily news updates, visit Archaeologica on the World Wide Web at archaeologica.org, where all the news is history. Also, be sure to check out our new subscription video streaming platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, at heritagetac.org. I'm Laura Kennedy, and I'll see you next week.
This has been the audio news from Archaeologica, presented by the Archaeology Channel. Be sure to check back with us next week for our next edition. You can spread the word about the audio news by clicking on the Share This link on our audio news webpage, or just by telling your friends. Thanks very much for stopping by.